Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Kristen Wright. The nation's freight rail workers could strike unless Congress intervenes. Today, the House passed a resolution that would force unions to accept a tentative agreement reached earlier this year and approved a resolution to provide 7 days of paid sick leave to rail workers. As NPR's Frank Morris reports, at issue has been just that.
President Biden asked Congress to force a labor contract on railroads and union employees after members of several rail unions voted down a tentative agreement that was hashed out by the Biden administration with railroads and union leaders. That tentative agreement would give rail workers substantial pay hikes, but not provide all of them with paid sick time. Some rail workers are on call most of the time, and for some, taking unscheduled sick days can trigger penalties and loss of income. It became a sticking point during the pandemic as rail workers stayed on the job, generating robust profits for railroads. Congress is running out of time to avoid fallout from a strike. Shipping disruptions from just the possibility of a rail stoppage will start this weekend. For NPR News, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.
New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries is the incoming House Minority Leader. The 52-year-old says he will reach across the aisle while staying true to Democratic values.
Each and every day, House Democrats committed to fighting hard for working families, middle-class folks, those who aspire to be part of the middle class. Young people, seniors, immigrants, veterans, the poor, the sick, the afflicted, the least, the lost, and the left behind. House Democrats fight for the people.
Jeffries will be the first black person to lead a major political party in Congress. Wall Street welcomed new comments today from the Federal Reserve Chair about the Fed's next move in its fight against high inflation. All three major indexes gained ground. The Dow ended the day up by more than 2%. NPR's David Gura reports.
In his speech, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell suggested future interest rate hikes could be smaller than recent ones. The time for moderating the pace of rate increases, Powell said, may come as soon as the December meeting. The central bank's next meeting is in about 2 weeks. In its fight against persistently high inflation, the Fed has raised interest rates four times in a row by 0.75 percentage point each. That is an unprecedented pace. Powell and his colleagues have been scrutinizing the data, looking for signs of progress. The Fed chair said that even with smaller increases, the central bank still has more ground to cover. David Gura, NPR News, New York.
Fleetwood Mac's Christine McVie has died. She passed away peacefully at a hospital following a short illness. McVie played with Fleetwood Mac for nearly 30 years, released several solo albums, and won 2 Grammys. She was 79. This is NPR News in Washington.
On 100.1 FM, you are listening to KMXT Kodiak, and it's time for the Midday Report. Students at North Star Elementary School were evacuated earlier today due to a, quote, suspicious item left outside the school, close quote. According to the Kodiak Police Department, all students are safe, and parents can pick up their kids at the Bayside Fire Department, according to police. Parents received calls from the school district shortly before 11 a.m. today, notifying them that students were being taken to the fire department and to dress warmly for an outdoor pickup. Alaska State Troopers are leading the investigation. They received a call shortly after 10 a.m. of the item and secured the area. Alaska Wildlife Troopers and the Kodiak Police Department are assisting with the investigation. The Kodiak Island Borough School District did not have additional information at this time. This is a developing story. KMXT will have more information as we receive it. We'll post that on our website, and you'll hear it in our evening newscast at 5 p.m. But once again, all students are safe at North Star Elementary School after an evacuation due to a suspicious item. President Biden pressed congressional leaders yesterday to pass a bill to avert a railroad strike, which he said could cripple the economy. The leadership of both parties agreed, but there are holdouts among the rank-and-file members, and Alaska Congresswoman Mary Peltola is among them. Peltola says she can't vote for a bill that would end labor negotiations without addressing rail workers' desire for better sick leave.
I just don't think it's right or fair to expect workers to go to work sick as a dog without being able to have a few days to recover.
Peltola spoke on NBC's Meet the Press Now. She won election twice this year with the endorsement of Alaska labor organizations, including the Alaska AFL-CIO. Working conditions for more than 100,000 freight rail workers who had been subject to negotiations for months. Unless Congress imposes a settlement, a strike could begin December 9th. Peltola says workers don't need paid sick leave, but a guarantee that they can take a sick day without being fired, especially with flu and respiratory viruses on the rise. Peltola acknowledges a strike could cause catastrophic damage to the economy.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
A young climate activist born and raised in Ketchikan was one of two Alaskans named to Forbes' 30 Under 30 list this year. KRBD's Reagan Miller caught up with Kira O'Brien about how growing up in Alaska inspired her to pursue a career focused on fighting climate change.
Kira O'Brien has some advice for other young Alaskans looking to make a difference in their communities.
Find something you're passionate about and go for it.
O'Brien is a 24-year-old Harvard graduate and climate advocate. Her passion for clean energy landed her a spot on Forbes' 30 Under 30 energy list this year.
Climate and clean energy are near and dear to my heart, and very excited to see the energy list for Forbes turning towards clean energy in the way that it has.
She says her childhood in Ketchikan led her to where she is today, working for a green energy developer called Total Energies as a public policy representative.
My childhood in Ketchikan really shaped what I'm doing today. Alaska is ground zero for climate change. So clean energy is the future for Alaska.
Her job means she works in Washington, D.C., keeping an eye on federal offshore wind and solar policy.
So I monitor federal public policy, so anything that's happening on the Hill, happening in the White House, that's of interest to us. And then I bring the findings back to the company and try to deduce what exactly that means for our business and our investment decisions.
She started two climate-focused nonprofits and worked on the federal auctions that won her company two major offshore wind farm leases worth nearly $1 billion.
My field is quite niche, offshore wind especially, in the U.S.
It's not O'Brien's first time making one of these lists. She made a different 30 Under 30 list in 2020.
I was on one a couple years ago, Green Biz. It's a very similar kind of thing. It's just specific to climate and clean energy, though.
But before Forbes and before Harvard, O'Brien was a student at Ketchikan High School.
I was captain of the varsity swim team while I was there. I was a class act mentor. I was in the band program, a handful of other things.
She also was a summer intern for Senator Dan Sullivan in 2016, the same year she graduated from Ketchikan High School. She went back to work for him in 2021 as a correspondence manager. At Harvard, O'Brien was the president emerita of the Young Republicans Club. She also founded the Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends Club. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
The U.S. Senate passed a bill to protect same-sex marriage yesterday with the support of both Alaska senators. Going into the chamber to vote, Senator Lisa Murkowski said the bill provides certainty to gay couples that their marriages will be recognized nationwide.
What we'll see today with hopefully passage of this is, again, that respect from one state to another.
Senator Dan Sullivan slipped into the chamber without stopping to talk to reporters. The bill passed with 61 votes, one more than needed. Murkowski and Sullivan were among 12 Republicans who voted yes. The Respect for Marriage bill says states can't, on the basis of race or gender, reject a valid marriage license issued in another state. To win over enough Republicans, it also says religious nonprofits can refuse to provide services to celebrate same-sex marriages. The Respect for Marriage Act next goes to the House, where it's expected to pass easily. This next story is with a nod to Kirsten. In a small town, it takes a village to pull an event together. That's especially true when the event is the first community theater production in more than two decades. More than 40 Wrangell residents are helping bring the musical The Sound of Music to the stage this week. To give us an inside look, KSTK reporter Sage Smiley dons a different hat, a nun's wimple, to be precise.
Community theater productions bring in actors and crew from all over the community. I'd know. I, the only radio reporter for our island's radio station, will be performing in my first community production, an abridged version of Rodger and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music.
You get people from different walks of life and people who maybe wouldn't hang out outside of this.
Haley Reeves plays the Mother Abbess. The sounds in the background are her 9-month-old baby.
And we all come together and we get along and everybody's just been like in the same headspace and working together, and it's been really, really great.
The actors are all ages. Only 2 of the 7 Wrangell kids playing the Von Trapp children are related in real life. The actors playing Maria and Captain Von Trapp are married, and they met while singing. The nuns are a radio reporter, the public school art and music teacher, a massage therapist, and Reeves, who works at a local bank. Reeves is originally from Haver, a town of about 10,000 people in central northern Montana. She grew up participating in community theater. She's been in 15 to 20 shows and says it's something she deeply missed after moving to Wrangell in 2018. It wasn't a question for her whether to try out when she heard a few locals were trying to revive community theater in town.
I honestly didn't really have any expectations because I had heard that we hadn't done one in 20 years. So it was like, oh gosh, I think the thought was, I hope that enough people are interested that we can pull this off. And so as we've grown and as we've gotten everybody to fill the roles, it is just, I mean, it's more than exceeded expectations because it's like, these are people that care. They want to put on a good show. We want people to enjoy it and hopefully enough to the point where we can keep doing stuff like this and offer it.
Director Tom Jenkins agrees. The show, which opens December 2nd, has far exceeded his expectations. That's in large part due to the amazing volunteerism of Wrangell, he says. Between the cast and crew, more than 2% of the island's 2,100-person population is involved in getting The Sound of Music off the ground.
I thought costumes would be extremely simple, like maybe a feather, and that, you know, sort of like you'd do in a junior high play. That's what I was expecting, you know, but it's not. We've got Broadway type looking stuff here. It's really that is a big change. Staging and costumes are totally different than what I envisioned at the beginning because I was envisioning really amateur theater. But people in this town, they're artists.
The process has been full of surprises, Jenkins says.
One was how quick the kids learned their routine. For Do Re Mi, it's a fairly complicated routine. I had 2 pages of notes as I put together, choreographed the thing, mostly copying what I saw from Sound of Music with Julie Andrews, but we had to do some things. But anyway, they just picked it up so quickly, and I just was able to put away the notes after the very first time.
At a recent dress rehearsal, the 3-part song ran smoothly, but there are still some things to iron out. First and foremost, the Von Trapp children didn't have microphones. Those were still on their way to Wrangell Island.
Everyone's been surprisingly good singers, too. That's really surprised me. Like the nuns, I don't see how the nuns, you could have a better quality of just singing in any kind of professional theater even than what the nuns have done. It's really, really impressive.
Ticket to Wrangell's Sound of Music will be $20, available online and in person before the shows. Jenkins says he knows it may seem steep, but it's a lot of money to purchase the rights to a play and to pull together proper sound equipment, even with donated costumes and sets and volunteers helping out.
I'm always amazed how somebody like Rodger and Hammerstein's great-grandchildren are still making so much money from their play. I think I need to write a musical so that my great-grandchildren. But anyway.
Reeves says there's a lot that goes into a show that the audience won't ever see unless something goes south.
I think what's hard for people to realize if they've never done theater and they come to watch a show is to know that, like, if you see, you might notice a tiny mistake here, but, like, you don't understand all the work that came into just getting to that point and, like, what could have gone wrong.
In addition to actors on stage, Reeves points out there are people running microphones, hitting sound cues, doing lighting, changing backgrounds and set pieces, plus a whole host of volunteers who made those sets, helped sew and alter costumes, and are lending equipment to make the show work.
There's all these roles that are filled that you don't actually get to see them doing, but it's a big project for everybody to come together on.
Of course, Reeves says there are nerves, especially here in the home stretch.
And it's always like the week of and the night before. It's just like, can we do this? Are we going to do this? We're going to do this.
Jenkins says community theater is important. That's why he stepped in to direct the first community production in Wrangell since the late 1990s.
It's exciting. It's good for the town. Good for the young people. Look at all these young people that are singing and dancing at a fairly high level, choreography and stuff. I mean, what kid in Wrangell in the last 20 years has got to perform at this level? I probably will never go to Hollywood or something, but they'll always remember this kind of stuff. But we need to support it if we're going to keep doing it.
One element in short supply, boys in Wrangell who will sing. One of the Von Trapp roles was gender-bent because not enough young men tried out. Jenkins says he hopes that seeing a performance will help motivate more kids of all ages to check out theater.
We struggled to get a boy. So that would be a goal for a future, too, is to get a couple of young guys. So bring your sons to this performance so that they get involved in theater. It's very macho and fun.
In addition to the experience, Reeves says community theater, especially in a small town like Wrangell, offers people a new perspective on their friends and neighbors.
I work at the bank, and I'm sure if, depending on who's coming, it's like they've never seen me except behind a desk. And it's like, whoa, I didn't even know that you enjoyed theater. And in a small town, it's hard to get out of your box sometimes because people see you here or there, and that's just kind of where they keep you, is in that box. And theater being here opens up that box for people to get to know everyone in a new light.
Reeves says community theater can also be genuinely life-changing.
Just if you give it a chance, like, theater can just be really moving, and you just never know when it will move you or what it will do. And maybe you just come and it was like, yeah, that was fun. And maybe you come and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to do the next one. Or you just never know what it could inspire from one show. And so hopefully it inspires more shows.
Jenkins says he'll probably step away from directing after this play and let other talented Wrangell folks helm the future of community theater here. And for her part, Reeves says she wants to help keep community theater going.
We definitely want to keep doing it if we're successful, and I'm hoping it's going to be. It's going to be. It is going to be. Let's go with that.
But in a way, having a show in Wrangell for the first time in much of the cast's lifetime is a success in and of itself. Break a leg, Wrangell, Sound of Music. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
It's been said that a dog will lick the hand that has no food to offer. Truly, they are a man's most faithful companions, along with your friendly local public radio station. Who is there when you wake up on a cold winter morning? Why, your friendly local public radio station. Who fetches music and the latest news for you, morning, noon, and night? Your friendly local public radio station, that's who. Who is always around when the tsunami siren sounds? Who plays World Cafe and the BBC in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? Who retrieves local breaking news and drops it right at your feet? Yes, your friendly, faithful, local public radio station. And even though your dog will lick the hand that has no food to offer, he won't refuse a little kibble either. You can become a sustaining member and contribute a little every month by visiting our website at kmxt.org and clicking on the blue button. That's clicking, not licking. And thank you for your support.
Read Diverse, Read Indie on Insight Daily Radio. Conversations with today's most influential authors from the world of independent publishing. The Lonely Assassin is the latest installment in the Milan thriller book series by master storyteller Jack Erickson. In the novel, a Russian banker embezzles millions, laundering money in Switzerland for Russian oligarchs, and then flees with his Italian wife to a remote location on Italy's Lake Como. Vladimir Putin orders an assassin to Milan to take out the banker, But unexpectedly, the assassin meets an intriguing Italian woman in Milan who probes into his emotional life. On a dangerous assignment, the assassin realizes he's in a deep personal crisis. We spoke with him about this latest exciting novel.
I had developed a very nice network of Italian and American friends in Milan and in other locations as well. I do a lot of research, and I also visit virtually every place that I write about. So in The Lonely Assassin, I have been to Bern, Switzerland, and I had a location that where I actually stayed, which is in the book. I have been to Barna, the village near Lake Cuomo. And, of course, I've been to Milan, and I've also been to Moscow. I was a Russian, I graduated with a master's in Russian studies, so I've been to all the locations in all of my books, including Lonely Assassin. Moscow, Milan, Lake Cuomo, Bern, Switzerland.
That's author Jack Erickson on his latest novel, The Lonely Assassin, which is available online at bookstores and at Red Brick Press. Read Diverse, Read Indie is presented by the Independent Book Publishers Association.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Wednesday. It is the 30th and last day of November, the year 2022. The sun rose today at 9:26. It will set promptly at 4:29. That will give us 7 hours and 3 minutes of precious daylight, a loss of 2 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 49 degrees. That was set in 1976. And our record low was 0, set in 1971. Currently a relatively warm 19 degrees under fair skies. Not windy yet. West winds to 5 miles per hour at the airport right now, where they have 68% humidity and 10 miles of visibility. They're calling for mostly sunny skies for the rest of the day with a high near 36. West winds around 5. For tonight, a 20% chance of rain before 9 p.m. Then mostly cloudy skies will gradually become mostly clear overnight with a low of about 34. Northwest winds coming up to 25, increasing to 30 to 40 after midnight, and could gust as high as 50 overnight tonight. For tomorrow, sunny skies, high near 35, with northwest winds to 40, decreasing to 30 in the afternoon, could gust as high as 45 tomorrow. And they're talking about clear skies Thursday night with northwest winds to 25, sunny skies on Friday with west winds coming down to 10. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up at 1:03 p.m. this afternoon here on the east side. That will be a low tide, actually, of 3.5 feet at 1:03 p.m., followed by a high tide at 6:57 this evening of 7.5 feet, and our low tide for the middle of the night tonight will be at 1:44 a.m. and be 8/10 of a foot. Over on the west side, you have a low tide coming up at 1:55 p.m., that will be a 5.4-foot tide in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide at 7:31 this evening of 11.4 feet. And your low tide in the middle of the night in Larsen Bay will be at 2:20 a.m. and be 1.7 feet. Mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkin at Kodiak's east side offshore. Gale warning tonight and tomorrow. For tonight, west winds to 40 knots and seas to 13 feet. For tomorrow, on our east side, northwest 40, seas to 14 feet. Thursday night, north 30, seas to 11. And Friday through Saturday on our east side, west 20, seas to 6 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tonight and Thursday. For tonight in the Shelikof, west wind to 40 knots, gusting to 55 knots out of bays and passes after midnight. Seas to 9 feet. For tomorrow, northwest 40, gusting to 55 out of bays and passes in the morning, seas to 8 feet. And for Thursday night, north 25, seas coming down to 4 feet. The senior citizens of Kodiak will be holding a regular monthly board meeting today at 1 p.m., just about a half hour from now. That's happening in the Senior Center's multipurpose room. The public is invited to this meeting. For more information about it, call the Senior Center at 907-486-6181. The Humane Society of Kodiak's annual membership meeting will be Thursday, December 1st at 5:30 p.m. in room 106 of the Benny Benson Building of Kodiak College. A recap of this year's accomplishments and plans for 2023 will be provided. Members and the public are welcome, and a Zoom option is available if you don't want to attend in person. Email them at humanesocietyofkodiak, all one word, at gmail.com for more information. And the Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary is having their Elder House Raffle Fundraiser. Purchase raffle tickets from now until December 17th for your chance to win. They're $10 per ticket, 3 for 25, and only 500 tickets will be sold. First prize is an Alvin Amundsen original painting valued at $3,000. Second prize is two nights at Seaside Casual B&B valued at $400. And third prize is a $200 gas card. To find out how to buy tickets to the raffle, go to www.kodiakhospitalauxiliary.org, or you can follow the Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary on Facebook to learn about upcoming ticket sale events, or just call Yvonne at 907-654-9899. The Kodiak City Council will be having a work session tomorrow. That starts at 6:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library and will be immediately followed by a regular meeting. Both meetings are open to the public and will be web-streamed. The web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. For more information, call the city clerk at 907-486-8636. The Kiwanis tree sales are going. They are going on the weekends. They start Fridays from noon to 7. Oh, no, Fridays from 4 to 7, rather. Saturdays from 10 to 4, and Sundays from 12 to 4. And that's happening at 111 Bartell Avenue at the usual spot. That's one of the cutoff roads between Razanoff and Mill Bay Road. They are offering three varieties of trees, plus wreaths, mantelpieces, and cedar garland by the foot. Again, that's Fridays 4 to 7, Saturdays at 10 to 4, and Sundays 12 to 4. Okay. Well, stay tuned. Our next storyteller is coming up. It's going to be Andy Schroeder.
What if accessing your personal and family immunization records was as easy as checking your phone? The Docket app is a secure option that allows Alaskans to quickly access their immunization records. Need immunization records for school or travel? Docket makes it simple and is available for download from the App Store or Google Play. Learn more at vaccinationrecords.alaska.gov. Paid for by the Alaska Department of Health.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.